Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Everybody, I'm Sue Supriano. The music you just heard is written and performed by Don Paul. It's from a compilation called Five Songs for the Bush Reich. And Don Paul is my guest today. He lives in San Francisco, California, and is a man of many talents. He's a poet, a prize-winning runner, an activist, and journalist. Today we're going to be talking about his just-released book, and get ready for this long title because it'll tell you what we're going to talk about. The title is 9/11, Facing Our Fascist State, Being a Study of the Infamous Day's Crimes and How and Why the U.S. Ruling Elite Have Committed Other Atrocities That Have So Benefited Them for More Than a Century, and How and Why We Can Still Win a Livable Future for Our Children, and What a Plot, being six volumes for the San Francisco Bayview, which is a National Black Newspaper of the Year, from fall of 2001, including an early prayer for George W. Bush and arriving at the most enormous and evil scam in U.S. ruling class history. As I said, that title is quite a mouthful, but it gives you a big clue that what we're going to talk about is George W. Bush and others and the many unanswered questions and evidence about what really did happen on September 11th, 2001. I want to welcome you, Don Paul. So I want to let people know that this is a very easy-to-read book, even though it's full of a lot of factual information and some great pictures. The print is big, which is important to me, and it's not huge in fat. It's under 150 pages. So I really recommend for people to get it, and we're going to let you know how to do that. Oh, maybe we should just do it right now and then again at the end of the show, because not everybody listens to a whole radio show.
All right. It's available through questionsquestions.net, and sfcall.com has excerpts. And you can order it through wireonfire.com/Don Paul.
Phone numbers or anything for people that don't have the internet?
Good idea. You can order it from the P.O. Box, P.O. Box 33-0178, San Francisco 94133. And I suppose you could call me direct if none of the above work, 415-982-8043.
Okay, and we'll repeat all that information later. But this is a very important book, along with some other very important books that talk about 911. And you want to just share right now, Don Paul, the theme, basically.
Well, what I found out at the end of the day is that at least parts of the U.S. government had to have actively participated in the crimes of 911. And it seems to me part of a pattern by a certain elite within the United States that extends back for at least a century of creating pretexts for wars that profit them.
And that's some very big accusations, and I know people don't take it. It's very amazing to me, because I talk to a lot of people about this subject, and it's amazing how some people just back off and they just can't stand it, and other people say, yeah, I have a feeling about that.
I think it gets right into people's guts. You know, it hits the fear mechanism and the denial mechanism. I've heard many people say that I just don't want to believe that, or if I believe that, I would feel overpowered. But on the contrary, to me, I think the recognition is really helpful and empowering, because you at least see the dimension of your enemy.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, to say things like this these days is a very risky business, as now everybody, well, I don't know about everybody, but a lot of people are seeing the kind of repression and loss of our civil rights that's come along as a result of 911.
Well, I agree that fear is becoming prevalent, because, you know, more mainstream friends of mine who, you know, find the book compelling have told me that they've mention it to other people, and those people have said, well, can I buy it incognito somehow? I don't want to use my credit card. And I found that, you know, kind of staggering, that the fear, the worry about these people, this Bush administration, are just such a real collection of two-bit gangsters. You really should not fear them. They are tissue thin, and all we really need to do is expose them. You know, there's no credibility or legitimacy at all in this entire government. You know, they came in as thieves, and they should go out as thieves. They really deserve to be put in prison, especially when their complicity in 9/11 is exposed.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the complicity in 9/11. What has brought you to that conclusion?
Well, every central occurrence in the day, the collapse of the World Trade Center towers, the hit to the Pentagon, actually all the hits by the airliners, could not have happened unless there were officials allowing them to happen, at the least. The Pentagon is the most obvious example, because of the lack of interception over a period that you could say extends to 55 minutes. You've got that airliner, which I believe did not actually strike the Pentagon, but anyway, you have American Airlines 77, coming back on a beeline toward Washington, D.C., from 8:55 a.m. onward, and you don't have planes scrambled until 9:24, and you don't have the planes arriving above Washington, D.C. till 9:50. There are a lot of things that could not have happened unless standard operating procedure was violated.
Seems to me that by itself is really very condemning. I mean, how can this most well-oiled, biggest military in the world not be protecting the Capitol, the Pentagon? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know that they've wired automatically. I don't know if these are not the right words. I'm not a military kind of person, but you know, those for to notice anything unusual, and it's absolutely absurd that they wouldn't have gone and done something.
Right.
Some planes from these military bases that are so close, and then they sent a plane from a military base that was even further away than the closer one. Right.
They sent it from Langley, which is 169 miles away from D.C. Andrews Air Force Base, with two flight squadrons that are specifically empowered to defend the Capitol, 10 miles away. Those squadrons didn't go up until after whatever struck the Pentagon struck. The planes that were flown from Langley were somehow flown only at 250 miles per hour when they've got a capacity to fly at 1,500 miles an hour.
Very, very suspicious.
Right.
Very, very. And, of course, most people don't know these things, do they, or do they? Or is it there in the corporate media?
No. I would say that is another great part of the criminality associated with 911, and that is the failure of the media that should be showing you the lawn outside the Pentagon and the size of the hole in the Pentagon and begin investigating all the discrepancies in the timeline. They're just not doing it. To me, they are as comparably guilty as the government officials who are the perpetrators.
Yeah, the media is always so important. So why do you think they're just towing the line there?
I think they were shocked, most of them. And once the deed was done, there was nothing to do but go along with it. Also, there was a great deal of intimidation that followed that. I mean, the anthrax went to media. It went to Democrats. You know, to me, those were strong signals to hush up or you're going to be taken out. And also, the larger concern is that the United States economy is so tottering right now, it is dependent upon the wars that have ensued, you know, these stopgap wars, because we're basically in a fascist economy as well as a fascist government. We need to go to war in order to keep this thing rolling. You probably recall last July of 2002, there were huge hemorrhages in all the central pillars of the economy. J.P. Morgan Chase lost 18.5% of its value in one day. Then the war in Iraq, the so-called war in Iraq, it's actually the massacre of Iraq, became a certainty, and that has sustained the economy over the past several months.
So give us some more evidence about what happened. I think that there is quite a lot of it that is very suspicious, and I don't know if there's actually enough evidence to prove it now, or we just need an investigation. But there's certainly, answer that, and then talk about the buildings falling.
Well, yeah, to go back to the Pentagon, if you look at the hole, the exit hole from the C-ring of the Pentagon, it is about 50% smaller than the fuselage of a Boeing 757-200, the American Airlines Flight 77. So that couldn't have been the plane that penetrated the Pentagon that far. And the fuselage of a Boeing 757 couldn't have penetrated that far anyway because its nose cone is carbon and would have collapsed, you know, at first impact. It had to go through 6 18-inch reinforced walls in order to make that exit. It's clear that American Airlines Flight 77 wasn't the object that penetrated the Pentagon. And that's one basic physical fact that would demand an investigation. To go over to the World Trade Center towers, their collapse, I believe, could not have occurred without serial explosions set off in each tower, coincident with a huge bomb set off in the basement of each tower, which severed the central columns and allowed the descent to occur unimpeded. I mean, both those towers went down in less than 10 seconds, which is equal to free fall. As if there were no steel, no concrete, you know, enormities of steel and concrete obstructing that free fall. You know, the only way they could have hit as they did is if they were demolished inside mm-hmm. in that smooth, instantaneous seeming fashion that everyone remembers from the TV images that were repeated. Also, to recur back to the Pentagon, you remember how many times you saw in the first 48 hours after the attacks the World Trade Center's collapse, you never saw the Pentagon hit. And you know the Pentagon's got loads of surveillance, that there is film and video of whatever happened to the Pentagon on record.
Mm-hmm. Also, isn't it the case that there was no wreckage found outside?
In the photos I see no plane engine. As you say, Sue, in every other plane wreckage that we know of, there is at least an engine standing. The engines on that, on a 757 or just below the wings, they should be sitting directly outside the facade of the Pentagon, or there should be holes that they would have penetrated. There's none of that. In fact, the entry hole that one can see before there's a subsequent explosion and more fire and everything collapses further, but the initial entry hole is smaller than the width of the fuselage of a Boeing 757.
This is reminding me, too, of that story about the passport of one of the supposed hijackers being found.
The indestructible passport. Right.
I mean, that was, like, absurd. Yeah. Totally absurd. Everything is totally demolished, and you find a passport?
Yeah.
Give me a break. I mean, there are these things that I don't understand why people don't notice, but they don't seem to.
Well, I do think they do. We've seen several instances, you know, when somebody of prominence has begun to get the need for an investigation out before the public. You remember Cynthia McKinney in April of 2002, there was a poll taken in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is, you know, like the mainstream corporate newspaper of Atlanta, Georgia. It was believed almost exactly equal in terms of respondents. Over 24,000 respondents believed, 50% of them believed that the government had foreknowledge of the occurrences of September 11th, 2001. Then when Senator Paul Wellstone was killed last October, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, which again is the corporate mainstream paper of St. Paul, Minnesota, did a poll, and the numbers there were 13% believed that bad weather caused the accident, 14% believed that the mechanical failure caused the accident, 67% believed the GOP caused the accident. So I think that the people in the United States are smart and sensible despite the absolute blanket of propaganda that they face. I saw that down in San Diego when I visited family over Christmas time. You know, if you read the San Diego Times Union, wouldn't have an inkling if there was any alternative to the official script. You know, it was all being played as Al-Qaeda this, Al-Qaeda that.
But you talk to people who had a sense still that something was not right.
I have met no real resistance. You know, once you begin to bring up facts and impossibilities, everyone is interested and everyone is open. They are probing and they're saying, how can this be? How would they dare? That is the basic thing. How would they dare? And you really do have to give them a lot of credit for nerve. Not so much for skill and execution, at least the cover-up of the execution, but for daring to carry it out, that was colossal gall.
My guest is Don Paul, who is, among other things, the author of this book with a long title. I think I'll just give you the short version. 9-1-1, 9-11, Facing Our Fascist State, and what a plot.
Yeah.
So what evidence is there, and you have it very, well documented, and you make a lot of references to other websites and other books in this book, which will go into even more detail, I'm sure. In fact, I hear a lot of good things about a book called The War on Freedom by Nafiz Ahmed, mm-hmm. and there are other books too. And this one, like I said, I really recommend because even I could read it, get through it. And the pictures are really great. So what evidence is there that the United States or some people in the Bush government, president-select, since he wasn't even legally elected, really, that they were involved in terms of setting this up?
Well, it could not have happened without their involvement. That is the main, you know, causal evidence. Then there is how they behaved on the day. You've got Donald Rumsfeld sitting in the Pentagon watching American Airlines Flight 77 being tracked, coming straight at the Pentagon. Not that American Airlines wound up hitting the Pentagon, but you've got him sitting there in the National Strategic Command Center, and the plane was coming at that side of the Pentagon. He just sat there. Clearly, he knew that something was going to happen, that plane would not hit his side, or whatever was going to hit the Pentagon would not hit his side of the Pentagon.
And how do we know he was just sitting there?
Because it's on record. It's like, it's on the New York Times. He's talking about, well, we saw this and that. And the other principal players, Richard Myers, who was then the ranking Air Force official of Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's now head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He just continued with his meeting with Senator Max Cleland that morning. You know, he got word of the first hit on the World Trade Center tower, and he just went on with his business. The biggest evidence, I would say, is the behavior of George W. Bush, who was told before he went to the famous event at the Booker Elementary School in Sarasota, Florida, that, you know, one tower had been struck. He was told by his press secretary, Andrew Card, as he was sitting there listening to the story about the goat, that the second tower had been struck. And you watch the video of that, it is as if he's been told that his shoelace is untied. He just kind of leans back and blinks and card doesn't even wait for a response from him. You know, is that normal behavior for the chief executive of a nation that's under unprecedented attack like that? It doesn't make sense unless there is foreknowledge, at the least.
I have my own opinions about all these things, of course, but I need to ask you because this is an interview. So, Don Paul, what would be the reason for doing this? And, of course, that's what people think. Our government would never kill Americans.
It has many times before. You know, there's pretty compelling evidence that Pearl Harbor was set up by the United States in order to impel the United States into World War II at a time when about half the population was ambivalent about that. The sinking of the Maine, the sinking of the Lusitania, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, all manufactured pretexts for the United States to go to war. So I think there's plenty of precedent for that. Why did it happen in September 2001? Well, the economy was tanking. The Bush administration was under threat of criminal investigation, some of which investigations went away with the destruction of World Trade Center Building 7, which went down on 5:20 that afternoon with no plane hitting it, with no hot fires in it. That is the most obvious controlled demolition of the three buildings that went down. That held the CIA and FBI offices, as well as Mayor Giuliani's command center.
And if you want more details about the evidence for these things, you can find them, not during this interview, but, you know, like engineers who've done studies and all these kind of scientific things. And they are available, these facts.
Yeah, if I could briefly cite some of the outstanding ones. From the Wilderness site, and Mike Rupert is, I would say, the principal investigator on the Internet. There's also great stuff at Global Research, Michael Chusadovsky and his associates. Emperor's Clothes has had good stuff. Questionsquestions.net has good stuff. There's a researcher in Australia named Gerard Holmgren who's done a really good, about 15-section study of 9/11. There's cooperative research. There's several timelines that break it down into obvious fashion as to what had to happen. There are the book you mentioned, Nafees's book, is a great compilation of information. I understand he wants to do a second edition that's even fuller and more streamlined. So the Internet right now is the source of truth and journalism, the only source of truth and journalism regarding 9/11/01.
Well, and of course, we see what's, as I said at the beginning of the show, we see what's happening to our civil rights and what's happening in a lot of that stuff was sitting there just waiting to be passed. The Patriot Act got passed within 2 weeks or something of 9/11. The police state went right into, which has been, in my opinion, in the works for, and it's not just opinion, but I've been noticing that it's been growing all along as we have the most prisons and most prisoners in all of history, and that stuff has been, the Patriot Act was even under the Clinton administration, written under the Clinton administration, so that issue of if you were thinking that the Democrats would be so different. That doesn't seem like it.
No, there's no reason to expect any kind of salvation from Democrat. I mean, if you go back to Prescott Bush and W. Abel Harriman, Republican Democrat who worked with Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party. One became Republican senator from Connecticut. The other became Democrat governor from New York. So there's no reason to see any difference in the two in terms of what Clinton did and other suspicious activities after the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, that's when we got that step toward repression. And as you say, a lot of the particulars for the Patriot Act were authored under his administration, and all the particulars, all the most repressive things were things that John Ashcroft had been pushing for, you know, over 10 years.
Actually, we didn't even talk about the Nazi connections, which I found so very fascinating, and they're in the very beginning of your book.
Right.
And now we're about to be out of time. Can you say anything real quick?
Well, let me say something about hope. We can still beat these people, but we just have to recognize who we're facing and how they operate and the dimension of the enemy that we face. And we can defeat them by basically eschewing the corporate state, by finding ways to work on our own that will not make us dependent upon the products that they offer. Because the only way they sustain themselves is through our consumption. If we turn off their consumption, they're bound to founder.
Mm-hmm. Economic boycotts against some of these corporations, not even necessarily all of them, but right. some of them as an example.
Yeah, I advise Chevron and Citibank as, you know, two arms of cartels that could be pressured. But the real trick is for us to kind of change our ways in a mass recognition. You know, that will cause the true revolution.
And I guess people don't even, now they're faced with so many difficulties that they don't even have to really understand, or do you think they do, about the story of 911 and how it happened?
I think unless they understand the root causes of what's happened, we will only have partial solutions that will lead us. We are close to a precipice right now. The human species is close to a precipice, and we need to turn around and recognize where we are, what time it is. And I think 911 could be the ultimate wake-up call mm-hmm. toward making that turnaround.
Well, it's some very astounding things in this book, 911, Facing Our Fascist State, and the title goes on and on. So Don Paul, the author, let us know again how you can get it, how the listener can get this book.
For right now, the most direct way is www.wireonfire.com/Don Paul. And that has means to purchase the book and other books of mine and recordings. It's up at questionsquestion.net and sfcall.com. And I think those are the most direct ways. If you need to use the mail, can't use the internet, P.O. Box 33-0178, San Francisco 94133. And I would like to thank everyone who's responded. It's been astounding. The book has been out for a little more than a month, and it's already out to nearly 700 people just by word of mouth and internet, and the responses I've been getting have been very gratifying.
Well, that's great. Thanks for writing it. And thank you, Don Paul, and my name's Sue Supriano. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in ordering a copy of the show you just heard, write down the following information. The email is sue@suesupriano.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, at Sue Supriano, SUESUPRIANO.com. Sue@SueSupriano.com. If you need a telephone number, it's 510-883-1979. That's 510-883-1979. Thanks.